Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 19 years now, and we thank the Lord for this radio station, for the prayers, for the provision, all the support over the many years, and most of all for you, the listener. If you're tuning in today for the first time, we welcome you, and if you've been a listener for many years, we thank the Lord for you and invite all of you to come back each and every Sunday, make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today we're going to be talking about heaven, a great topic, a wonderful topic, a glorious topic, and there's a lot in the Bible that talks about heaven, so we can have an idea of what our heavenly home is going to look like, the rewards that are waiting for us in heaven. And so if you have your Bible there today, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 21. And this is talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. And so, I'm Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to look at our rewards in heaven here in just a minute. First, I want to give you an update. What's going on here in Kenya? Coming to you from Kenya today. We've been having very, very hot weather, untypical weather. 95 to 96, 97 degrees, which is extremely warm for this part of the country. Usually we're about 90, 88 to 90 this time of year. And so we were in a dry spell going on about 3 weeks now also. So pray for rain for us here in Kenya. As far as the children's home, the children are all in school and they're doing well. We have about four different schools we send 25 children to. And so pray for them, pray for provision for the schools. They all charge fees. Every school in Kenya charges school fees, and it gets to be quite a burden when you're paying fees for 25 children. And so keep that in your prayers as well. We're wanting to buy another acre of land. We have 1 acre purchased, designated as a home for a school. We want to buy another acre right beside that first acre and build a school, a primary school, grades 1 through 8, for our children and for the village children. Maybe have 200 pupils when it's all said and done. So keep that in your prayers, that God would bring us provision for the school and that we can move forward quickly and get that built to bring glory to our Lord and Savior and bring a good Christian education to the children of Makunda Village. Well, today we're going to be talking about our rewards in heaven. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, we've talked about life after death. And for those of you who are born again, those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know that you have a glorious afterlife coming. Your rewards that you've worked for here on earth are coming to you in heaven. They will be given to you. And so that is something that we all have to look forward to. There will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more regret, no more of any of that from the devil. When you get to heaven, it's going to be glorious. It will be a pain-free, wonderful experience with Jesus Christ, with the saints of old, with your family members who also knew Jesus Christ as their Lord. And so that is what we have to look forward to, our blessed hope. The appearing of Jesus Christ or your seeing him in heaven. And so that is what we have to look forward to, gives us hope here on this earth. Well, before we go to Revelation chapter 21, I want to just touch on a scripture in Luke chapter 10. Turn there in your Bible, Luke chapter 10, and starting in verse 17, Jesus had sent out the 70 disciples and asking them to minister to the lost house of Israel. And in verse 17, it says the 70 returned with joy saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then in verse 20, the one I want to focus in here on, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so he had sent these 70 out, gave them authority to cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick, heal the lepers. And so they come back and they're rejoicing because they found out they had some power that they'd never had before. Jesus gave them authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And so they were overjoyed with this authority that they had, with this new power that they had. And Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. Don't rejoice. Don't get overjoyed, because he said what you should rejoice in is that your names are written in the book in heaven. Beloved, whatever you're doing out there for the kingdom, praise God. I hope you're doing something for the kingdom. I hope you're making rewards for yourself by the works that you do for the kingdom, by bringing people to Jesus, preaching the word, being a testimony of your own life as you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But all of that pales in comparison to the fact that you are saved, that you are going to be with Jesus for all eternity in heaven, that your names are written in heaven. They're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so we look at Revelation chapter 21, and this is a picture of heaven, Revelation chapter 21 and 22. I hope you spend time in your Bibles today and read those two chapters. Won't take you more than 10 minutes to read them. But the Revelation tells us of the coming life that you will have, the eternal life that you will have in heaven. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 27 says, and there shall be by no means anything enter heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so there it is. That's a discussion of the Lamb's Book of Life. You can also go back to Revelation chapter 20 and the great white throne judgment, which is not a judgment for born-again believers. It's a judgment for those who have rejected Jesus Christ. And it talks about those who do not have their names written in the Book of Life. They are cast into the lake of fire along with the devil and the beast and the false prophet. They're cast into the lake of fire. And so that will be their eternal home. Those who don't know Jesus, those who never accepted him, those who never confessed their sins, never repented of their sins and confessed his name, they will be sent to the great white throne judgment and from there into the lake of fire. Well, so we can look at individual rewards, and we know they're coming. We know God values them. We know Jesus values them. 2 Corinthians 5:10 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that for those who know Jesus Christ, those who are born again, the judgment seat of Christ will be their judgment. It's not a judgment according to salvation or regarding salvation. It's a judgment according to the works that you have done while you're here on this earth. And so if you have done good works after you're saved, if you've done good works, if you've done great things for the kingdom, maybe you've been a faithful worker in the church, maybe you've been a missionary, gone on short-term missions or something like that, maybe even a long-term mission, if you have done great works for the kingdom, you're going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And the mansions, we talked about this last week, the mansions that the angels are building for you right now in heaven, those mansions are built according to the works that you have done. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And so Jesus is preparing a place for you right now. And the angels are building your mansion according to the works that you are doing. Well, that begs the question, what are you doing for the kingdom? Are you doing anything? If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord, God doesn't snatch us up to heaven the next day or even that day. You are left here to do works for the kingdom. You're left here to gather for the kingdom. And so whatever it is that God has you to do, if you don't know what your purpose is here on this earth, if you don't know why God created you, you need to pray and fast, spend some time with the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about your mission, your charge here on this earth. And he will speak to you, because every single person God created, every single person has a call on their life, has a destiny, has a word spoken over them. God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, even before you were knit in your mother's womb, I knew you and I spoke a word over you that you were to be a prophet to the nations. And so that is God's plan for every person, because he is an omniscient, all-knowing God. He knows the plans that he has for you. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans for you, says the Lord, or declares the Lord. It's plans not to harm you, but plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so God's will is that he will prosper us. He will give us a hope and a future. He has a good plan for you, and you need to find out what that plan is. You need to find out what that calling and that destiny is, and then start to take steps to move into that calling. The steps might be baby steps. The steps might be small at first. Just take a baby step. Go to church. If you're not in church, find a fellowship where you can join with other believers. Find out what they're doing. Get encouragement for your own life. Get prayer for your own life. And as you take baby steps, you build your faith. You start to believe that God knows you, that God cares about you, that God loves you, and he does indeed, in fact, have a plan for your life. Well, I'm going to talk here now about crowns that are rewarded to us, given us as rewards in heaven. And there are many different discussions of crowns in the Bible, or several anyway. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, his mentee, Timothy, the disciple, the son that Paul raised up to preach the gospel and go to the Gentile nations. So in 2 Timothy 4, 6, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." And so this is being written, I believe, from prison, and Paul's life is about to end. He knows it's about over. And so he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. That's verse 7. He's fought the good fight. He's finished the race. He's kept the faith. And then in verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And so Paul says there's a crown waiting for me, a crown of righteousness. And he says it's waiting for me at the end of my life. And that jives with what 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, the judgment seat of Christ. We are all judged according to the works that we do here on this earth, whether good or bad. And so Paul says, I know that I'm finishing the race, and I have kept the faith. And so all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and those who endure to the end, tells us in Matthew chapter 24, those who endure to the end shall be saved. So each and every day you have to believe in Jesus. Each and every day reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ. Each and every day confess your sins. Each and every day ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. That's one of the reasons, among many, I don't believe in once saved, always saved, because I don't believe God ever takes free will away from us. There are people who obviously backslide away from their confession of faith and their commitment to the Lord, and some people backslide to the point where they get to the place they don't even admit or confess Jesus Christ as their Lord. And so I don't believe God ever takes free will away from us. You need to reaffirm your faith every day. You don't necessarily run to the altar of the church to do that. You just do it in your prayer time, in your secret place, and the Lord will reward you in secret. And so Paul says, I have a crown of righteousness laid up for me, which the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, will give to me on that day. And that day he's talking about is the day of the judgment seat of Christ. Well, James 1:12, James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has endured, he will be approved. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so that's another crown. We have the crown of righteousness. Now we have the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So you'll receive that crown also when you get to heaven. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, Peter talks about the crown of glory. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, that is Jesus, at the rapture, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Well, that crown is given to you at the rapture. And when you are taken with the saints to heaven, to make that your heavenly abode. And of course, the rapture, that word rapture does not appear in the Bible, but it's talking about the catching away or the snatching away or the catching up that is talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, where Paul instructs the Thessalonians people that there will be a catching away, first of those who are dead in Christ, first of those who are laying in the grave. Their bodies, their spiritual bodies, will be caught away to join the Lord in the air. Their soul and their spirits are already in heaven as a result of their earthly death. And then their heavenly body is caught up out of the grave, their glorified body caught up out of the grave, and they will join the Lord in the air. He doesn't come to the earth at that time of the rapture. He meets us in the air. And Paul says those who are in the grave are caught up first. Jesus Christ is number one, and the first fruits of all creation, Jesus Christ is number one, then the saints of old, and then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the air, to meet Jesus Christ in the air with the saints of old. We will all be taken in our spiritual bodies, our glorified spiritual bodies will be taken to heaven to join Jesus Christ in the air and sit at the right hand of God and join Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, this is also the Apostle Paul speaking. He speaks of a crown of rejoicing. He says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And this points again to the coming of the rapture of the believers. And so that crown of rejoicing, yes, we can rejoice here for a time while we're on the earth. And some people have said, well, our earthly life is so wonderful because we have a chance to earn rewards in heaven. Well, that's true, but this earthly life will never, never, ever compare to our heavenly life. Paul said to live as Christ, to die is gain, to live as Christ. And so Paul says, when I'm in this earthly tent, the tent groans because it longs for something greater. The tent is aging, the tent gets old, it gets tired, it gets weary, it gets full of pain, it gets full of sorrow, it gets full of tears, seeing your friends die, seeing things happen here on this earth. The wicked and the evil run the countries of the earth. So this tent will never be anything even close in comparison to what your heavenly home is going to be. So don't get too attached to your tent. Don't get too attached to your earthly life. Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity towards Christ. So don't get too attached to your earthly life, to your earthly body, to your earthly friends. Beloved, what is coming for you is going to be so much greater than anything you have ever known here on this earth. And so long for that, long for your heavenly home. But in the meantime, watch and pray. In the meantime, occupy. Don't just sit in the church pew and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, this is wonderful." Don't just do that, because that's not God's plan for your life. He has something greater for you. To get started moving in the kingdom, bring people to the Lord. A soul winner is wise, the Bible says, and so get started winning souls. Don't get hung up on the idea that, "Come, Lord, quickly, get us out of this mess." No, let's change the mess. That's what God's plan for us is to change the mess, bring people to the Lord. The more people that come to know the Lord, the better this place on the earth is going to be. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, this vision is given to John about the churches in different places in Asia. And so in verse 10, chapter 3, he says to the church at Philadelphia, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them who dwell upon the earth." And then verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly," fast to that what you have, "that no man take your crown." And so the crown of life that you've been given for your belief, the crown of glory that you will be given because of your belief. John was given a vision, and the angel speaks to them and says, "Don't let any man take your crown." Well, that was the instruction to the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. And in Revelation 2, chapter 10, to the church at Smyrna, the angel says, "Fear none of these things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation for 10 days. That may be a literal 10 days, or maybe a span of 10 days over many years. The Bible doesn't really say. But it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." That's Jesus speaking. And so that, again, speaks about the crown of life, that crown that we are given. Same thing James spoke in James 1:12. He will receive that crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Well, I'm going to close here in Revelation chapter 19, and this is a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It appears that at the end of the tribulation period, 7-year tribulation period, and the rapture, it appears that we all sit down with the Lord Jesus to dine with him, to sup with him in the great banquet hall in heaven. And I don't have a picture of that in my mind other than just to say it's going to be so glorious and so magnificent, and it's going to be a banquet hall that holds billions of people, because there will be billions that have confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Just in China alone, the underground church, they say, is 200 to 300 million people. In America, there's probably 150 to 200 million Christians who have confessed Jesus as their Lord. In Africa, there's probably 600 to 800 million people that have confessed Jesus as their Lord. And so this banquet in heaven is going to be a magnificent event, and it's going to be glorious beyond description. And so we can't really envision it. We can just talk about it in general earthly terms, but it's going to be so glorious that it will surpass anything that we've ever known here on this earth. Well, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife," that is the church, "his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Looks just like a marriage. The bride is dressed in fine linen, clean and righteous and bright. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, this is an angel, these are the true sayings of God. And John says in verse 10, I fell at the angel's feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, I have to close there, running out of time, but beloved, we have a great beyond description life waiting for us in heaven, all those crowns, all that rewards, your mansion, the marriage supper of the Lamb, your name written in the book of life. You can go on and on, start thinking about it, dwell on that. But in the meantime, you have work to do here on this earth. God didn't call you to sit around and do nothing. He didn't call you to be just a bump on a log, somebody sitting on the church pew. He called you to get busy bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, building the kingdom. That is your call. That is your mission. If you have any questions about this or you need prayer, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I'd be happy to dialogue with you regarding this subject and this topic. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them, and we would be happy to dialogue with you and pray with you. And thank you for listening today to this great message. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.